Father, we truly do thank you tonight. We give you all praise, all honor, and all glory. We thank you, Father God, you're here in our midst tonight, doing a great and a marvelous work in each and every person that came out to sit at your table. Father God, we thank you that you never gave up on us, that you showed us your grace and your mercy. And Father God, we truly do thank you that you told us this is going to be a special Christmas season. And Father, we thank you that you have brought the joy of the Lord into the house, into the people, so that they can carry it out into the world. We thank you, Father, for all the work that you are doing behind the scenes to bring America to their knees, back to their first love. And Father God, we especially thank you that you have us covered with the blood of your Son, Jesus. And you are continually working on our behalf. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How many know that God is in control of every area of your life? That he just doesn't leave you nor forsake you, you know, if you do one thing wrong or 10 things wrong. He's always there just waiting for you to come and tell him how sorry you are. You know, God said this is going to be a special Christmas. And, you know, God told me to decorate my front porch. I've never done that before. But if you, as you drive around, have you noticed how many people are decorating their front porches? You know, they have Christmas trees. A lot of them decorate like I did, like at your living room. But, you know, it's just God's is awesome, isn't he? And I said, God, why did you have us? And he hasn't answered me yet. But why did you have us decorate our porches? Has to be a reason. And I know we'll find out what it's all about. We need to understand it right now in this season that we're in, that God is trying to demonstrate his power through each one of us who sit in his presence. We have to understand that we're no longer just us. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. And God is putting his power source in us that we can go out and demonstrate what Jesus is all about. In this time of just sitting in the house of God and not doing anything is finished. You know, it's time now for us to go out into the world, maybe stand on a street corner somewhere and just pray for people's healing and let God manifest himself through you and let people experience the love and the grace of God. He's doing something, and he wants us out of the four walls onto the streets, ministering to those who are less fortunate than you and I. Amen. And we can do that. We can really do that. But will we do that? We can do all things through Christ Jesus, right? But do we do all things through Christ Jesus, or do we just talk about it? I've been in a twit this week because, you know, with health issues, I can't do what I used to do. I can't do what I want to do, and I'm not the only one there. And I just said today, God, I can't even do all that I need to do for you. I remember the days we went out on the streets. I remember we gave every waking hour to God, you know, and was happy to do it. And, I mean, I know God understands all things, but I don't. And that's my problem, you know. And I know some of you the same way. You don't understand why God is doing the things he's doing or why you have to go through the things you go through. But we do know that God is in it, all right? All right, walk a new beat, come and sit at my table is what God said. I am saying we should never take for granted that Jesus just came. Our Father gave the best he had, and Jesus was determined to demonstrate and teach us what our Father was like. Do we do that to other people? Do we demonstrate and teach them what Jesus is like? You have to think about that. In all of Jesus' actions, he never did anything he did not see the Father doing. Hello. I know there's too many in the house of God are not doing the things that they saw Jesus do. And they're not demonstrating Jesus, but Jesus only did what the Father told him to do. And let me say, our Father made each of us so unique. Now listen to this. Our Father made each of us so unique that there is a portion of Him that can only be represented and demonstrated by you as you follow His directives. When you come into alignment with the Father's will, you are doing what He would be doing in the earth realm. I was reading a prophetic word the other day, and I thought, now, God, if you were using me to say that, no way would it sound like that. Have you ever done that? I mean, this, you know, I do these. I go down these avenues because God uses my personality. He uses your personality. You know, so when He was using this young man's personality to speak through, to say His word, but as I was reading now, I said, now, if God was using me, He would have worded it this way or that way. Yeah, He would have. So don't try to be somebody else. I've told you this before. You're unique. You are different. And let Him use you. I love it when you let Him use you and you're not trying to be somebody else. So it doesn't matter how he speaks through you. He's using your personality. And I have heard prophets speak, and I know it's not God speaking through them. It's them. And you can just tell because you know the person. You know how they speak. You know how God speaks. All right? All right, God said, you will walk by the beat of a different drum this week. Get ready and don't think your walk will walk in the same rhythm it did last week. You will walk by a different sound and by a drum of a different beat. Find your drum and find your sound and follow it this week. And he just talked to Brother Aaron the other day and said he was going to be doing a different drum beat or something to that effect. As soon as God said this, I said, wait a minute, he said something about the drum beat was going to be different with Aaron. See, God is doing brand new things. And we need to step into the brand new thing. And don't worry about the old thing. It's already been done. I don't know about you, but I don't want to keep repeating myself. I want brand new things being done through me by God. All right. So God says, find your drum and find your sound and follow it this week. He says, outstep the loss in your life. In other words, forget about it. Outstep the poverty that's trying to control you. Forget about that. Outstep last season's sorrow. Forget about all that junk that happened yesterday. Outstep your pain by the sound of a different drum. Walk past that fear that you believe will surprise you. You've been expecting fear, so walk by the sound of a different drum so you can surprise fear. See that? Don't be afraid of what tomorrow holds. It's going to come whether you're afraid of it or not. And you might even halfway know what it's going to be, and you don't want it to go to the next day because you know what you're going to have to face, but just go ahead and face it. It's not going to go away. And God, if you've given yourself to God, God's going to have His way, and it's going to go exactly the way God wants it, not the way you want it. How many can say amen to that? Come on, let's become alive. Let's get truthful with God and ourselves. What I think is going to happen might not happen. My prayer always is, now God, your will, your way. He knows exactly what He's going to do. So I quit begging Him and telling Him what I want. I said, Father God, here's a situation. Do it your will, your way, and I'll just watch what you do. I mean, I really have come to that point in my life. All right, God said, I am creating a new ear-splitting company. As I form these new drums, know that the heads of the drums are the hides of your enemies. Say that again. As I form these new drums, know that the heads of the drums are the hides of your enemies. Every time you beat that drum, it is a testimony to the overcoming power I have placed within you. You are moving to the sound created by the defeat of your enemies, for those drums are covered with their hides. You're defeating the enemy, Aaron, because God spoke that to you just the other service. Beat him to death. I like the drummer boy because when they play those drums, I can just feel them vibrating off hell. You know, and Jesus is in full control. You know, I think the drums that begin with have a wonderful sound to them. I love to hear somebody play the drums. And, you know, it's just so awesome. I said, God, I'm going to play this as often as I can because Christmas will soon be over. He said, you can play it anytime you want. You know, we don't have to not play just because it's Christmas, right? Okay, you are moving to the sound created by the defeat of your enemies, by the defeat of your enemies. For those drums are covered with their hides. That which is creating your sound was a sacrifice you made. That which is creating your sound was a sacrifice you made. When you make your sacrifice, know your sound begins to accelerate. All right, so let's just say you're trying to quit smoking. And every time you lay that cigarette down, you're hitting that drum. And you're sacrificing that moment because you know the next moment you're going to pick it back up again. But in that moment, you're giving that sacrifice to God, believing that God's going to take it away from you. All right? And you never know when that is going to happen, when God's just going to flat take it away from you. So you don't quit giving that sacrifice to God just because he didn't take it that moment. You just keep sacrificing and sacrificing and sacrificing. Each one of us in this room, we have different things, areas in our lives that we have to give to God over and over and over again. You know, sin is sin. And, you know, and I'm sorry, but I don't believe there's anybody. No, I'm not sorry. I know there's not anybody in this room that doesn't have just about every day have to give something to God that you thought was gone. Might be anger. It could be anything. But we just keep giving it to God till one day we say, hey, that's not there no more. It's gone. So, but whatever you do, don't stop beating your drum. Just rattle his ears as much as you can. Then God says, come and sit at my table. I am setting a banqueting table for you in the presence of your enemies. You know, that's in the word. And how often has God been telling us, come and sit at my table? When are you going to understand what he means? He means get up there and sit down. He's prepared a meal for you. All right? I am setting a banqueting table for you in the presence of your enemies, those life-constricting spirits that are trying to steal your joy and my life within you. There's more than one of us in here today, tonight, that can say that you've had to fight for your joy, that the enemy has really been trying to steal your joy. He's thrown everything at you that he has in hell, and he's really trying to steal your joy. But even no matter how hard he tries, that joy just keeps bubbling, doesn't it? Just keeps bubbling up, bubbling up. You know, there's something in us now that has let the enemy know, you can't steal my joy. And our joy just keeps coming up. No matter what's going on, down in there you feel it stirring. Next thing you know, you're laughing again. And if you're not, well, then you better be. Amen. The joy of the Lord is your strength. God said, I'm about to set a table. Agree with me because we're about to blow this thing up and out of the water. And it's going to be done at the table. It is time for the enemy to recognize that when you feast on me, you're feasting on supernatural things, things far beyond this realm. But God said we need to get out of this realm and get up into the supernatural realm, right? Watch and see what is going to happen this Christmas. So, you know, he's doing something this year, and I don't know what it is yet. I mean, I can feel it, and I see it a little bit here and a little bit there, but we haven't seen the magnitude of what he's doing yet. Then he says, come out of the kitchen and to the table. Teresa Ann would like to do that. She'd like to quit doing all the cooking. She'd like to sit and have some wait on her, right? Come out of the kitchen and to the table. Come and dine in the presence of your enemies. Come to the table and know that I am able. Let me pour the oil and the wine. It's time for your anointing in the presence of your enemies. We need to let the enemy know that we have an anointing. We need to quit stifling that thing. We need to quit allowing the enemy to walk all over us. You know, you are the one that has to walk it out. I'm the one that has to walk it out in my life. You can't walk mine out, and I can't walk yours out. You can take it to the Father in prayer, but then I've got to do my part too. Amen? Come on. You have to do your part. Devil, get out of my life. You cannot do this to a child of God as he's beating you up. You have no power and authority over me as he's beating you up. But we have to keep on telling him that because he's a little hard of hearing, he's thick-headed. And we just have to keep telling that till he finally, look what he did to Jesus. And Jesus kept saying, what? It is written. He didn't quit the first time Jesus said that. He tempted him for 40 days and 40 nights. He didn't tempt. And I said, well, God, that was, but it wasn't 40 years and 40, you know, years, day and night. I even had the audacity to tell God, well, Jesus only walked the earth 33 years. And his ministry is only 3 years long. Look how long you've had me doing this. He more or less told me to shut up in his own nice way. Quit complaining. Some of you need to quit complaining. All right, God said, there is a glory at my table. You want the glory? Get at his table. Take a seat, he says. There's a cloud over my table filled with revelation. Take a seat and drink of me because there is glory at my table. I have a seat for you. Don't strive to get in it. It's already there. It's yours. You don't have to shove somebody out of the chair. All right? My table is big and decorated and has international flavor and convenient flavor in it. His table is just inviting everybody there, not just you. I mean, you're important, but come on. There's so many more that need to be at that table than you. And so it's our job then to make sure we take a guest. Like Barbara said, I'd like to have you as a guest. And seeing God wants you to bring a guest to his table. You have a hard time getting there yourself, let alone taking somebody with you, right? Come on, we need to go to that table and we need to dine. God said, I've got your seat if you want it, but I'll choose who you set by. Aha, come on. But I'll choose who you set by. Taste and see and drink of me. Taste and see that I am good. I have a remnant rising up from every nation, and that is who I will seat at my table, and the enemy will feed you. Come on. This is my table of covenant and holiness. All right, this is what God wants you to do at the table. Tell unworthiness to go. And God said, you belong at my table. Take your cloak of rejection off. You belong at my table. Take your cloak of judgment off. You belong at my table. Throw all those things aside and just go to the table of the Lord. Take your cloak of self-pity off. You belong at my table. I am reseating my people because I put the pot on the burner and I'm getting ready to see who is going to eat with me. Come on, he brought his fire and he set you on fire. What are you going to do with that fire? Are you going to prove to him that you're able to sit at his table? Even though the fire comes, there's a lot of people do not change. They stay absolutely the same. God wants us to change. He's been telling us, I'm cleaning the inside of the cup. Have you allowed him to go really deep into the crevices of the crack of your cup and get all the filth out of it? Amen. And then he says, take off that cloak of religion because my stew has none of it in it. No religion, all spirit. Isn't that what he told us quite a few years ago? All right, this is what I said. Sunday after the AM service, God spoke to me and said, we are going straight over the top, daughter. He's talking about the Lighthouse Church. He said, we're going straight over the top. I got so excited about that, I couldn't hardly stand myself. Amen. We must be doing something right. Yes. All right, Jesus has come to flip the tables over in the temple. This is me. He's come in to clean the churches up. It's about exposing manipulation in every sphere, not just in the temple. He's coming to expose manipulation in every sphere that works towards selfish and sordid gain. He's not going to let people sit in the house of God and sin. He's not going to let pastors sit in the pulpits and be in sin. God is going to expose and is exposing everything that is not of him in his houses. And if you don't know that, you better get that through that little pea brain of yours, because you don't want to be one of those standing on the banks when the river overflows. All right? All right, God said this is a season of change. This is a season of change, my children, breaking away what was weighing you down, what was of the flesh. So all that stuff you've been carrying around that is of your flesh, it's not of the spirit, God is trying to strip you from that, or strip that from you. This season you shall be broken away from such things and circumstances for your good, not for your harm. See what he's saying? This season you shall be broken away from such things and circumstances for your good, not for your harm. For there are those out there who have stepped into a bear trap and their foot is caught, and moving will be difficult. For they have listened to those who have turned a deaf ear to me and have gone the way of Lot. There's people sitting in the house of God who have turned their ears away from God and are listening to the things of the world. And you're lost. God said, my ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. For I am repositioning you, setting your feet on the right path, protecting you and walking you through these doors that were meant for you. God, I don't care what you're going through, God is with you. He really is with you. Go ahead and get in a twit like I have been all week. You know, because I can't do what I used to do, and it's driving me to destruction. You know, but God is with you, and God's walking through that thing with you. You know, and there's other people walking through it with you too. They're praying for. They're holding your head up. They're holding your arms. You know, and they're saying, "Come on, we can make this together." And I've noticed what God's doing is bringing a lot of junk up that's inside of people, and He wants you to take care of it. He wants you to say, "Here, Father God, I know this is of you. I give it to you right now." And then allow him to have it. Allow him to cleanse you so that you can be the pure vessel that he wants to work through. God said, others attempted to take what I meant for you, and I, the Lord, am bringing that correction and shielding you from such. For too much growth with shallow roots leads to a collapse. Your roots have got to go deep, guys. You're going to have to return back to your first love. Your mind's going to have to be pure. Your eyes are going to have to be pure. You can't walk in any type of shadiness in Christ. It's not hard to walk in purity. It is not. It is not. There's something in you still enjoys that dark side, and that's why you can't get rid of it. I know I've been there. I've been walking this out all my life. Anything you give to God, if you give it to him 100%, he's going to take it. But if you give it 99.9, he's not going to do a thing with it. He told me, I want all of you or none of you. So I'm sorry, your 99.9% is not making it with God at all. And if you're a minister of the gospel, then you have to be walking in holiness and purity of heart. And I'm going to tell you right now, a lot of people will take your love and your grace that you have for other people, and they'll twist it. They'll twist it all over the place, so don't worry about that. If you're walking in purity of heart, in holiness, God knows you, knows who you are, and he's not going to let your enemies rule it over you. Remember, as you go deeper with me and higher than you ever have, get ready, for the hour is upon you, and know it is me, the Lord your God, speaking to you this day. Every one of you need to know you need to know the Father's voice, let's put it that way. And when you know the Father's voice, you won't listen to the enemy's voice. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you know the Father's voice, there's always something that the enemy says that just said, "No, that's not you, God," and then you'll tell the enemy to shut up. I mean, once you get to know the Father's voice, you'll know him speaking, you'll know the devil speaking. The devil always twists something. Might be one word. But it's you, your spirit saying, nope, that's not God, and you'll just tell him to leave. I was sitting the other morning in the presence of God, you know, trying to hear his voice, and all of a sudden this, you know, I heard this words, and it was going on. But that's really pretty. Then I said, nope, devil, get out of here, because he said one thing. It all sounded good, but he said one thing. And I, what I did is I shut my computer down and got up. I didn't want the enemy getting in when I was talking with the Father. And when he did that, I said, well, I'll just go do something else and I'll come back. Devil, you can take yourself and go somewhere. Amen. If you're not walking in the Spirit and you want to hear a certain thing, you'll hear it. But it won't be from God. If that's what you want to hear, God will let a lying spirit go to you and tell you what you want to hear. And there's too much of that going on in the house of God right now. God said, for I love my children and I instruct for your good, not for your harm. In other words, God speaks to you and he tells you things that needs to be taken out of your life. He does it for your good. He does it so you, he can raise you higher. He's not trying to destroy you. He's not trying to break your spirit. He's trying to make your spirit grow by telling you the truth. You know, I can't stand a liar. I just can't. And if you're going to tell me a lie, don't bother open your mouth because I don't want to hear it. I would never trust you again if you lied to me. I just wouldn't be able to trust you, because if you lie about one thing, you'll lie about a lot of other things. My father always taught me, Barbie, he says, always tell the truth and people will always trust you. And it doesn't matter if the truth hurts or not. You have to tell the truth. You might be ministering to somebody and they're going down the wrong way and everybody else is petting, oh, you poor baby, and agreeing with them. No, you can't do that because you're leading them to hell. And one day their blood's going to be in your hands when you stand before the Father. You have to tell the truth. No matter if it hurts. I'd rather you hurt me for 5 minutes and have me burning in hell for eternity. All right? All right, God said a double portion is being poured out in this hour. At what kind of portion? Double. This double portion is double-edged. For those who have been faithful, it shall elevate them even more. It shall cause them to walk in greater power and authority through Christ Jesus. How many of you feel that you just know that you have more power today than you did yesterday? Do you feel that in your, you can feel it in your spirit? You just know that you've received more power. And you just know that you have, you'll know that you know that you have all authority over the enemy. It's there in the atmosphere if you just grab hold of it and pull it down and use it. You see, the body of Christ, though, they aren't listening for the Father's voice. They're about their business. And they're not hearing the Father. You can be busy and still hear God's voice. You know, he didn't tell you to quit living. He didn't tell you to go sit on a hill somewhere and just listen for his voice. He told me, he said, daughter, you have to live. You have to live life. You have to keep moving and just listen for my voice while you're doing it. And I learned to do that early on. And you know what? He's right. He's always right. It doesn't matter what you're doing. You can hear God's voice. You can be talking to somebody. And a lot of times I talk to Aaron. I say, well, just a minute, Aaron. And I have to hurry up and tell him what God's saying or I'll forget. I interrupt what he's saying. But I'd rather interrupt him and tell him what I hear God saying than forget and then him not hear it. You see what I'm saying? I'm listening to him, but also I'm listening for the voice of God. You should always be listening for the voice of God whenever you're talking to somebody, because you don't want to tell them anything that's not right, right? And you want the Spirit to say, stop me if I'm getting ready to get into an area I shouldn't get into. But we don't do that because we want to be important. We want people to know how God really works through us, and all the time we're leading them down the wrong road. You know, if you're humble enough, you'll just shut up. I've been talking, you know, I talk a lot to Aaron because of what we do together. And I'll just say, I got to shut up because what I'm getting ready to say is not of God. It's just me rambling on. I've said that to Christopher. I said, Chris, I'm just going to be quiet. Bye. I'll talk to you later. Because my flesh is starting to get in there. And my flesh doesn't know anything but stupidity. It really does. You have to be led by the Spirit of God at all times. And the body of Christ is not doing that. They just are not. And for those who have strayed and wandered into areas the Lord never permitted them to go, that double portion shall be correction, sobering, says the Lord. He's going to correct you if you start going the wrong way. He goes on to say, the winds of change have been blowing and now they are gale force. Hear that. These winds will change every area of your lives and you will no longer walk in deception or anxiety, for you know with surety of heart that it is I, the Lord thy God, that is in control of every area of your life. Gale force winds. Now, a gale force wind or gale is a strong, persistent wind raging from 31 miles an hour to 63 miles an hour. So there God has really put some gusted, excuse me, in them winds, right? Better watch it, blow you off your feet. If your feet aren't rooted and grounded in Christ, it's going to blow you right off your feet. It might blow you right out of the area, too. You never know. Amen? Come on. Maybe we might want to say, God, go to so-and-so and up the wind. Blow them away. Hey, you all have people you just do not be around. Let's not be all so religious here. You know, come on, let's just be honest. But God is sending the gale force winds to us to make us strong. Blow us where he wants to blow us. We say, God, have your way. Then when he starts having your way, you say, what are you doing? Come on, because things aren't going, you aren't going the direction you really wanted to go. And he's taking you the way he wants you to go. All right, from this moment forward, God says, you will hear my still small voice of instruction, and no other voice will you follow. When did he say this was going to happen? From this moment forward. Not tomorrow, but from this moment, not yesterday, this moment forward, you will hear my still small voice of instruction, and no other voice will you follow. Now, I like this. The breaker anointing is upon you, and it shall remain all the days of your lives. Now, he's talking right now. This anointing breaks every yoke of bondage that has been placed upon the world. You will walk in every precept of my word. Now, the breaker anointing, I looked up, says, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, God broke open the heavens over Jerusalem, removing the spiritual barriers that was keeping people from receiving the gospel. Thousands of people from every culture and language were saved in one day, due to that outpouring, and that's in Acts 2, 1 through 41. The breaker anointing removed the veil over the eyes of people so that which was once hidden in darkness suddenly came into the light. God said he's putting a breaker anointing on you right now. That breaker anointing, when you preach, teach somebody or speak to somebody, that breaker anointing is going to cause them to receive Christ. I was excited when he said that, and I looked it up. Then he said, there will no longer be deception flowing from my leaders in my houses of worship. Only pure, unadulterated truth will prevail. You just can't sit in there and act so dignified and really your mind is filthy. God's not going to allow that anymore. He can't. Do you see the corruption in the world out there today? Isn't it sick? And each day it's getting worse and worse and worse. You have to have a pure mind. You have to be walking in holiness if you're going to bring anybody else into the kingdom. You're not even in the kingdom yourself 100% if you're still out there in the filth and the dregs of the world. There's something in you that hasn't yet clicked to what you should be in Christ Jesus. The breaker anointing should break that all down. He said you're receiving the breaker anointing tonight. What was will be no more. For only truth will prevail. Lives will be changed. Hell will have lost its grip on the unlearned. And when he said unlearned, he meant the people that are not yet saved, that don't know about Jesus. So he said, hell will have lost its grip on the unlearned. My glory will fill the houses of worship, and all will run into my open arms, never to leave. Then he says another thing which is powerful, the days of Elijah have come upon you. Do you understand the powerful anointing that we are sitting in right now in this given hour? You know, and as I talk to God about the church, the older people are not making it. And I don't mean age-wise. I mean people sit in church service after service after service. So he's bringing in the unlearned, the people who don't even, I mean, they might have, somebody said they're saved, but they really don't know about Jesus. They don't know the deepness of Christ like we do. He's bringing them in, and he's replacing the ones that have been sitting in church and won't change. He's given, taking their mantles and giving them to the new people that come in. Now, do you want to keep your mantle or do you not? If you want to keep your mantle, if you want to keep your anointing, and if you want to go where God's calling you, telling you you're going to go, then you're going to have to change. Title was, Jesus Came to Demonstrate. You're supposed to go forth and demonstrate the power of Jesus. You're not supposed to go forth and say, I love Jesus and act just like the world. You're not supposed to do that. You know, you're supposed to be after telling people that Jesus changes you. And God said tonight, I was excited when he told me this. He said, tonight, you know, the breaker anointing is upon you. So that breaker anointing, first of all, should break up the junk that's in you. That breaker anointing should set you free so that then you can go forth and minister to other people. I know there's people in this room that you think you're all right and you're not. And that's not putting you down. I'm just trying to help you grow. And you need this breaker anointing to not only be told you have it, but you need the breaker anointing to burst forth. You need to see your own self being set free. Then that'll give you the confidence and the assurance that you do have all power and all authority. Then you will be able to go out and minister to other people and watch them be set free. You know, you people in here, you're all leaders. And, you know, I go home sometimes and I just sit and just stare at the ball. And I said, God, what's it going to take to make them understand that they are leaders? And what's it going to take to bring them forth in all the power that you've given us? Sometimes I get tired of people. I'm being honest. I just said to somebody the other day, I'm just tired of people. People come into the house of God over and over and over and over again, and they stay the same. They never change. I'm trying to. I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing the other. But what are you doing to a new person who walks into the house of God? And they see you still bound. They don't want what you have. They're already bound. They want to see freedom. I'm hearing God, and freedom is in the rock. So if you have Jesus within you and you love him with all your heart, and you know, one thing I say, God, don't ever let me give you a bad name or a black eye. That would kill me if I would do something and really disgrace God. It really would. You know, I'd just soon be dead as to walk the earth knowing that I was out there saying I was of Jesus, and then I wasn't 100% of Jesus. We have to be 100% of Jesus, not 99.9. God said some of you are walking on the negative side of Jesus when you should be on the positive side of Jesus. In other words, you think that you can't get free from your sin. See, that's a negative side of Jesus, because Jesus came to set the captives free. Did he not? The altar is open. If you think that you want that breaker anointing, so it first of all sets you free, and then you can go and minister to other people, come on up. God wants to give you that anointing tonight.